Bell is rung. I'm George Smiley, co-chair of Newcastle County Council Finance Committee. It's March 26, 2019, and we're convening the special session of the Newcastle County Council Finance Committee at the Executive Conference Room in Newcastle County Government Center. Council member present, members present is Kilpatrick, Durham, Diller, Carter, myself. That makes five, which means we have not established a quorum. So if anyone's looking for anything, you'll be looking for notes, not minutes, as required by the council bylaws. We have one thing on the agenda today, and that is the update on property tax rate calculations, and that will be mastered by Mr. Gray. So with that, I turn it over to you, sir.
Thank you. I was hoping that maybe some of the folks from the local governments around the county could identify themselves so we know who we're talking to.
Brett Taylor, Director of Finance, City of Wilmington.
Dave Del Grande, Director of Finance, City of Newark.
Jerry Schultz, Director of Finance, Ellesmere.
John Giles, Ellesmere Manager, City Manager.
Eric Thompson, Mayor of Ellesmere.
Tyler Reynolds, Director of Finance, Middletown.
Kathy
Mull,
Director of Finance, Newcastle City.
Well, thank you very much for... Oh, got another one.
Pat Tolman, Director, Argonaut Association.
Well, I want to thank all the local government officials for coming. We got another council person. Did you just...
Yes, Councilman John Cartier, co-chair of Newcastle County Council Finance Committee.
The Director Chair, Councilman Cartier, is with us.
So, we can all thank County Council for having this presentation. They asked Office of Finance, and then later we brought in the County Auditor to spend some time on this topic. I've got handouts here. We could let members of Council and the local governments maybe get the first crack at these. We can also provide additional copies. So the purpose of this presentation is to provide everybody an update on how tax rates are calculated across the county. And these would specifically be Newcastle County tax rates. The background of this is that County Council looked at some of the tax rates that had been presented in last year's budget and said that there's some inconsistencies there. And they asked the Office of Finance to look at those rates. And specifically, they looked at various municipalities that appeared to be getting the same mix of services from Newcastle County that had different tax rates. So I was saying earlier, I think Mr. Taylor said I'd never seen a spreadsheet I didn't like until I saw this spreadsheet. This is a spreadsheet that the county has used for years to calculate these rates. It's actually a workbook that has 52 tabs, separate tabs in it, and more than 2,400 links. And I know there are more than 2,400 links because we actually wrote a program that just went out and identified links. So it's massive. It requires the cooperation of local governments to provide information on what services they provide. It engages in a lot of cost accounting and allocating expenses and revenues. So just getting through it is a big job. We went through that calculation internally, and we said there's definitely some spots that need to be updated. And at that point, we consulted the county auditor because we thought this is important enough that it shouldn't just be one office looking at this issue. So why is this an issue to begin with? And it's basically an artifact of state law. Among the handouts that were being distributed are the relevant sections of the state code and also county code. Basically, we're required to produce two budgets every year. One is a local service function budget and the other is a general operating budget. And the local service function budget is one of these, is the budget where we have overlap or potential overlap. There's specific services identified in state code, and the basic idea here is that if a municipality chooses to provide a service, so for example, police protection, And Newcastle County does not provide police protection within the boundaries of that municipality, then Newcastle County is barred from levying a tax within that jurisdiction to pay for police service. And it only makes sense if the city of Wilmington, and they do have a police force, we can't then say, well, we're going to pay for our police force. We only can pay for services to the extent we provide them within a municipal boundary. And then there's the general operating budget, which is was a residual of all the expenses that everyone pays. So a full-service government like the city of Wilmington will only pay for the general operating budget. Other towns, it's going to depend on which particular services they sign up for and which ones they provide themselves. So the bottom line is that when you put all this together, county tax rates can vary across jurisdictions depending on the unique combination of services that the county provides or that the municipality provides. If you live out in the county in an unincorporated area, you just pay full freight. You pay the GOV, and the county provides all the local service functions, so you're paying full freight. Again, if you live in a municipality, you're going to pay the general operating budget and then only those particular services the county provides within the area. And the realty transfer tax, we use that kind of with shorthand as RTT, and it factors into how we calculate these rates. So at this point, does anyone have any questions? So this is my phases of the moon chart. And it basically goes through in a theoretical way explaining how the county budget is derived. Tonight we're going to find out exactly how it was derived, but this is theoretical. So basically we get requests both from on the general fund side and on the special fund side, predominantly sewer funds. And when we start to calculate property tax rates, we want to hone in on just the general fund because the property tax supports the general fund. So the first thing we do is we net out the sewer fund and other funds. Then once we've isolated just the general fund, now we're in the top row in the middle, we start to split things up. Is a particular service a local service function or is it GOV? And we go through a process whereby we segregate those two parts of the budget. And these amounts are just meant to be illustrative. They not will actually be in the budget tonight. The next thing we do is we say, per state code, we're allowed to use realty transfer tax for certain purposes. And we net out the realty transfer tax where appropriate. And then there are other areas where it's very clear that if we're charging a specific fee for a permit or something like that, that you net out that against that particular service. So then we're left with a residual of the budget that needs to be supported by property taxes. Now we're going down to the second row, and there's a very oversimplified budget calculation here where the county in this situation only provides three services, planning, code, and police. And the idea here is to reiterate the fact that not every town is going to pick every service. So in our example here, you can see that we have a $20 million budget for planning. All the unincorporateds have to pay for that, and then the three towns that choose it. Code, it's a $15 million budget, and in this example, town B doesn't pick that up. They're doing their own, so they wouldn't pay any tax on that. And you can see that on the police side, only town B picks it, so that you've got this different mix of services. And the important thing to remember here is when we calculate the tax rate, we only include the assessed values from the towns that actually use the service. So the various services can have a different assessed tax base supporting them. So it depends on where you live and what service you accept from the county when we're calculating that tax rate. And then the GOB, obviously everybody pays that. So that's sort of the theoretical look at this. So what does this mean? What does it mean when we're setting tax rates and how should this work? It means that our tax rate should reflect changing conditions. If you're in an area with a hot real estate market, you have lots of housing starts, your assessed values are growing more rapidly than other areas. Assessed values are how we apportion most of our expenses. Assessed values generally mean more people, more services. So if you're growing relative to other areas, your share of the county services that are picked, you know, by the locals could be increasing. A good example of this would just be straight out annexation, where in year one, you're a group of households could be out in unincorporated county. They get annexed, they're into the municipality. Now, if the municipality is choosing to have the county provide certain services, then that tax rate would reflect the fact that there's a greater share of the total assessed base in that municipality. The other area that this can be a dynamic process is the choices we make within the county budget. So we have several services, and if we collectively decide that we want to have one service get more resources and have it grow faster than the rest of the budget, what you will see in those cases, if you're one of the local governments that picks that service, we're spending more money on it, it's going to require more resources to fund that. And if you're picking a service that is growing faster than the rest of the budget, that could change your tax rates. The localities can, obviously, they can choose to add a service or drop a service. That's another way. And then there's the overall mix between the local service function and the GOB. If we're putting more resources in the local services than the general operating, that can change as well. So how does it really work? And this is the actual calculation from this year. So we have several services on the horizontal axis on the left side, going from advanced planning down to recreation. We have the various localities, whether or not they participate in taking an advantage of Newcastle County as a service provider. So if you look at this table, all the yeses are shaded. That means those local governments are choosing to use Newcastle County for those services. And what I want you to do, looking at this, is moving forward, there's several charts, tables that are set up the same way, and the shaded portions will be the same in each one of these. So, oops, sorry. The next step is basically to say, how much assessed value do we have in the areas that are participating, and what is the cost we're trying to cover? So, total property tax required, the first column after the description of the services, that's after we've netted out the RTT and any fees that we can apply to those various services. And that's how much we need to be supported by the property tax. The assessed value in the service area, here you're going to see that they change. If you have more of those boxes to the right highlighted, it's a broader service area, so we can basically use more assessed value to calculate the rates. In the interest of absolute full disclosure, if you look at this and you add up all the ones that are highlighted, and then look at the tax base that we're going to apply here, we always take about 0.5% of an adjustment here for non-collections, so it's basically 99.5% of the sum of all those things is what's in that one column. And then the setting of the rate is actually pretty simple. I mean, everything to this point, all that cost accounting, all those spreadsheets and links and all that stuff, a lot of complexity there. But here, you're basically taking the first column and putting that in a numerator, and the second column and putting that in a denominator, and coming up with a fraction. And it's expressed here as cents per $100 of assessed value. But at this point, it's fairly straightforward. If you're a municipality or the unincorporated area and you're using the service, we add up your assessed value, we look at the the residual in the budget that can't be, that is not supported by the transfer tax or any of the other fees, and we come up with a rate. And what you'll see is if we take those rates that were calculated for all of those things and just stack them up, what you're going to see is that you get a local service function rate. So the unincorporated area is 53.29. That's always going to be the highest. They're using 100% of the local service function. And then you can see that the Ardens, they're using identical combination of services. Their rates are identical. You move over to the Delaware City, Ellesmere, and Middletown, identical services, identical rates. And this is because, again, it's a simple fraction. We loaded all of the assessed values into the denominator and said, what do we have to raise, and calculate that fraction. In the past, there were times where, or at least last year, and in the past, what you would see is some of these rates varied. And now what we've done is basically gone back, gone through all the data, and set them so that they're equal. And this is, I don't expect people to look at this, it's just to say, look, if you look at the pattern, you don't have to go through and do all the calculations, but this is everything together. The pattern is exactly the same. It's pretty straightforward when you look at it. So one of the things we've worked really hard at is, okay, we're changing the mix of rates here, but we don't want this to be a tax increase in disguise or anything like that. In the interest of full disclosure, many of you will remember that the county is in the second year of a two-year tax increase. After the adoption of last year's budget in June, the fiscal 2020 property tax estimate was $133.3 million, and that was using the old local service rates. We've had several forecasts, several presentations where we put data out on our website. We've been in front of county council. We've had NCVAC meetings, and in every meeting, our outlook for 2020 has been $133.3 million. The rates that we're proposing that are going to sort of recalibrate the local service function here are going to raise $133.3 million. So, yes, we are embodying the second piece of the broad-based tax increase that was proposed last year, but we are not raising any additional money as a result of updating the local service function. So this is what it means in the various localities. The first three rows are the product of the work we've done over the last 6 months or so with the help of the auditor. The fourth row, prior rate schedule, that would be if we had just maintained the second element of the broad tax increase, and you can see that there are some that are higher, some that are lower. You can see the difference in the two rates, and I think probably most important, or the thing that maybe resonates the most, is what does it mean for a typical homeowner in every area? So in the unincorporated area, the median assessed value is $65,400, and you can see that here, because we're talking about everybody getting all the services, the difference goes from $526 is where we would be under these rates, and under the old rates, $527, it's a dollar a year, 9 cents a month. If you move across the various localities, you can see that in the Ardens, we're talking about a difference of about $4 a month. And we purposely put these on a monthly basis because so many people pay their mortgages through escrow on a monthly basis. And you can see the various ups and downs across these. And, you know, in no case is anything over $4 a month. But there are certain towns that are going to pay, where the residents are going to pay a little more, and others where they're going to pay a little less. The vast majority of county residents are in the unincorporated areas, and they're relatively unaffected. Um, This is just a graphic representation of those that last chart of what you can expect. And this is just the median improved residential lot. It's not, obviously going to take into account every single taxpayer in the each jurisdiction, but it gives you an idea of the relative changes. So what's next? These rates are included in the county executive's budget that'll be presented tonight. They'll be included on tax bills that are due in September. We're going to continue to work on this. I think it's fair to say that we've picked the low-hanging fruit, the stuff that we thought was most important, and made those improvements. But when you have a spreadsheet that is as big and unwieldy as the one we're looking at, we have kind of a two-pronged mission. One is to make sure that it's calculating things as accurately and properly as possible, and another is to sort of simplify it and look towards sort of succession planning and making sure that people who are going to inherit this have an easier task than certainly folks that have had to deal with this spreadsheet over the years. And the other thing that I think you all need to keep in mind is that in the future, because of the dynamic piece of this, rates are going to fluctuate a little bit. Overall county revenues may just grow at the rate of assessed values collectively, but depending on budgetary decisions and depending on which real estate markets are growing faster or slower, rates could actually change a little bit each year. So I have spewed a lot of information and concepts. I'm happy to address any questions anyone has at this point.
Let me get a procedural point across first. Anyone wants to speak, is definitely welcome to speak. Just in favor, indicate so by raising your hand, and identify yourself for the recorded record each time. I mean, if you're sitting here talking 5 minutes, right, we need you to identify yourself for the recorded record so it can be associated. So that, any questions? Comments? Any
Eric Thompson, Ellesmere. These different tax rate jurisdictions, the way that you came up with those numbers, is that public? Is that something we can look at to figure out how those different numbers were derived?
It's a calculation that goes into the budget, so ultimately it is a public document. I think between the auditor, myself, and anyone who's interested, it may be useful to sort of come up with a Reader's Digest version. I'm not exaggerating when it's spread, but I say there are 52 tabs and 2,400 links. But I'm sure we could provide some information for you that would kind of help verify that. I mean, I tried to put this as succinctly as I could to say, look, we go through our budget requests, we net out other sources of revenue. We're left with a residual that the property tax has to support. And then basically we say, look, if Ellesmere is getting this service, we add them in with everyone else, and we calculate a rate, and then everybody gets the same rate. But I think it would, be most useful if we sat down and gave you something that was a little more succinct, just because it is so big and unwieldy. But I'm sure we can find something for you.
Okay. I'm just curious, that's all right. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Dave Belgrani, Newark. What's the delta? What's the additional revenue generated from all the rate size of all the rates?
It's revenue neutral.
But had you left the existing rates in, and then the new rates, what's that difference?
You mean that we had a budget compromise last year. The county executive proposed a 15% increase in one step. As a part of the compromise, we said we're going to do basically 7.5%, and then the residual, the rest of it, in 2020, so two steps. basically, you know, we're talking about each step being about $8.3 million in total. So over the 2 years, you know, you end up with about $16 million more than we would have had we not done that. But if I'm understanding you correctly, this exercise that we've gone through doesn't raise any more revenue than what we would have gotten if we had just done that second step.
Let me rephrase it. So I understand the two-year tax piece. So had you left those rates in for 2020 as they were approved last year, and then overlaid the new rate over the old rate, what's the revenue difference between those two? So you said I would say the Ardens may be $50,000 more, Newark may be $100,000 more, but unincorporated would be $150,000 less.
It's break even.
If you take the unincorporated piece out and just look at the incorporated groups, what's the dollar revenue collected in addition from what was anticipated to be collected based on the rents?
We can calculate that figure, but the overall is the
sure.
same amount.
Yeah.
And so you understand that I think the unincorporated is 0.2% different from where we would have been, but 0.2% over 85% or 90% of the whole tax base. You know, Russ may be coming to my rescue here.
This is what the new rate is.
Yeah. So the we can provide this to you. The unincorporated, it looks like about $250,000 on a base of $119 million. So, and then there are pluses and minuses across the localities, but we can get that for you.
Okay. So, and you mentioned the low-hanging fruit. So, and I agree with the process. I agree with what the county's doing. My concern is the timing of how we need to get that out to our council and our residents. Ultimately, you know, we're hearing it today, and there's the budget addressed tonight, and I understand there's the confidentiality of it all. But nothing's changed in 50 years with the local service process. And when you're taking some credits that have been, prior administrations have accepted, and without giving the incorporated areas any prior notice until today, that there's going to be changes, I think that piece we need to walk into a little bit more slowly. And ultimately, like Newark, for example, we don't have a fire service, but we do give about $250,000 a year to Aetna is our contribution. So our fiscal year runs January to December versus July versus the county. So we're already halfway into our year. So at this point, if there's a change, there has to be discussion, are we going to continue our $225,000 support to Aetna, or is the county going to increase Aetna support? So I would say the latter is going to be no. That'd be up for Newark to decide whether or not we're going to continue with that piece. Also, there's other services that we have at Newark that we may reconsider whether or worthy to have at Newark, like dog control or just code enforcement. They're just picking a couple out of the hat. So if it costs Newark $150,000 to run dog control, we can give it back to the county. And then if you disperse that dog control expense to everybody else, Newark's rate would probably go down lower than where it is now. But everyone else would pick up a cost of that. So I think there's a balance that has to happen, some negotiation, not negotiation, but discussion between the incorporated areas. I know it's a lot when there's 13 of us, but the old adage has always been, if they have been receiving the credit, just let it ride, because there's other things to kind of balance it all out. Like stormwater, for example.
I'm going to speak for a minute. I can appreciate what you're saying, and I understand the hurdle you have to climb. I understand ours, and first thing I want to get clear, and I think most of us have it now, it's simple to reassessment. The bottom line is here is not to raise revenue for the county as much as I'd love to. It's about everybody paying their fair share for the services that they get. Now, I can appreciate that you've had credit. Appreciate the fact that I've been here 14 years, and the first I heard of it was 6 months ago. Every administration has kept it a secret that they have not been adjusting the rates accordingly for the services from council. They haven't kept it from you. I don't know. I may be wrong, but maybe when you guys all get together, this one talks about how, wow, I'm happy I'm not paying what I should, and I'm happy I'm paying what I, more than I should. Not. I understand you got to adjust it, and where they work that out, I don't know. All I know is, for myself as a council member, this needs to be done. We need to get it clarified, and we need to get it out there. We would love to have done it much earlier. Council's been asking this through more than one administration. This is the first one that's been willing to step up and give us the truth about what was going on, and that's what we're facing here today, is the tough truth about what's been going on and what needs to be done. And you know, I understand our budget's July to June, yours is January to December. How those adjustments get made, I'll leave to those that know much more than I do. But this is something that has to be done and has been, as far as I'm concerned, a long time coming, and would have been a lot, held a lot earlier if some of us had been aware of what the administrations have been doing.
I would just add that longstanding practice that is inconsistent with state code is not a reason not to adhere to state code. That any change of this sort can there's never a convenient time to do it. But the fact that council asked us to look at this, together with the auditor, we said there's obvious areas for improvement. I don't know that we can sort of adhere to some sort of phase-in when we have very clear marching orders that we need to do this. And this is really about county services and who pays for it. And I know there's interaction with the local governments and the services they provide, but this is about getting the burden of providing county services distributed equitably.
Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
First of all, most of what I was going to say you already said, but just is there a way that, since the fiscal years run differently, that there is a way to prorate for the months that are left or not left within
well,
their
fiscal years?
Well,
we're proposing this for services that start July 1st. 2019, and we're saying we're going to provide these services in these areas, and to the extent you receive these services, and we have parts of the budget that need to be supported by property tax, then the the resident needs to support that. I know there's interaction with the local governments. This is really more about the county dealing with its citizens that reside in municipalities and not to be dismissive, but and less to do with the local government folks. We just wanted the local government folks to be aware that this was occurring because we need to work cooperatively, and they're going to get the phone calls, you know, if something changes. But the relationship with the local governments is important, but this is primarily to make sure that county residents in various places are understanding and bearing the right burden for the services that we're providing.
Right, and this goes along with the discussion that we've been having for 6 months now about reassessment and the fairness issue that goes with it, that you figure it out, and we're revenue neutral, we're not gaining money. But Dave's question, I think, went to, okay, we're almost six months in, so for the first 6 months, they've paid the old rate. For the second 6 months, they will pay the new rate, and correct?
No.
It's the residents that are paying.
They're paying
when their tax bill
comes due. The various municipalities, depending on when their fiscal years run, the municipality has calculated a tax rate based on their budget and the fact that they are going to overlap for 6 months in the initial year is the issue that he brought up. But we're basically saying...
Right, but they will be paying two different amounts within their fiscal year.
Yeah, and they would have anyways, if because we were...
Because you would have changed it.
We were going to have been a second, a leg of a...
So this is not different than any other year in which we have changed local functions, service function fees?
I think this is different to the extent that we took a hard look at it across the board.
Right, but we could have, if we had determined at any time that there was more money that was needed because we had a larger expense for police, let's say.
Right.
Then in our fiscal year, we would have passed that on to them anyway.
We would have passed it on to the county taxpayers enjoying county services who happen to live in a municipality.
Right. Right, but it would have been passed on at the beginning
We're not going to the municipalities and saying you have to do anything with your budget or change your tax rates or anything like that. This is the county burden.
So it's not costing, except for whatever this credit was, it's not necessarily costing the municipality any more money. What they collect within the next 6 years in Newark is, or 6 months in Newark, is what comes over to us. In your local service function
we
fee.
We collect it.
Well, we collect it, but from their residents.
Right.
That comes to us.
Yeah.
But it would come to us whether it was higher or lower or stayed exactly the same in any fiscal year, not just the fact that we have now gone through and basically done a reassessment and found the fair
reevaluation.
reevaluation.
An update.
That our word. But we've done basically a fair analysis on each person will be paying a like amount for the service that you're using.
That was the big thing that council looked at. They said, and I think it was a couple, Councilman Weiner and a couple others said, look, I can see three towns that have the same services.
Let's say
towns,
because you are hearing.
Okay, fair enough. And we went back and looked at that and said, it's obvious the intent is that if you are getting a service from Newcastle County within a municipality, then and only then should it be included. And to the extent that it's being, you have identical blocks of services going to certain towns, they ought to pay the same rate.
Right.
And that's what we've done.
But nothing is, it's what we're collecting, period. It's not like we're saying, okay, well, here's your new rate, and that is now for your entire fiscal year. It is from the beginning of our fiscal year to the end of our fiscal year.
And the point I made earlier was that this time next year, we'll have gone through a whole series of calculations, and if collectively the county executive and county council decide we need to spend more money on recreation and we want to increase that budget a lot, we think it's really important. If you're one of the jurisdictions that has selected that as a county service they would like to receive, because we're putting more resources in that basket, your rates will probably go up a little bit more than another area where maybe we hold the line.
Yeah, Tyler Reynolds, Middletown. A lot of the conversations regarding revenue, you're saying the services that you receive are the expenses being allocated at the same rate as which the revenue is coming in. For instance, if Middletown's receiving dog control and we're paying X percent of that dog control budget, is there dedicated staff that's attributable to Middletown if we're already paying for that, but they're not necessarily receiving that portion of the benefit?
Let me jump here. Because you picked a bad analogy. Because the state controls that. All we do is send them a check.
Okay.
So we need something else, because that's a very bad taste. Because I don't know where they send the people. I just know they created a whole new department, hired employees, bought trucks, and started sending the county the bill. Three counties.
So, service X.
Yeah.
Good job. Now, I understand what you're saying.
Are we receiving that same benefit? Because to me, if a resident asked me or a member of council, I'm paying this, but I haven't seen a county truck in Middletown in 7 years.
So let's understand what we're doing here. We're allocating or apportioning, you know, using cost accounting, and we are not getting into the granular level of, well, you know, this year 92% of all of our calls went out to the unincorporated area of the county, and you know, and last year it was 91% or I think we are basically saying we have a certain amount of budget that we have to cover, and we have the way we support that is through the property tax, so we're using assessed value as the method of allocating it, and with the assumption that service delivery is sufficient, adequate, equitable across the whole service area.
So if we were discussing police for the state unique to Middletown, is there any industry standards that say someone with a higher assessed value requires more policing?
No.
If it was police, now the people with a higher assessed value are potentially paying more than the people who ultimately could be requiring more policing or more of another service.
But we're talking about general revenue, general support.
We
are not talking about user fees with respect to these types of services, and that just is not the way public budgets work when you have general taxes.
I agree. So you started off by saying you want to be more involved in local municipalities, but to Dave's point, we're here today on a budget that's approved tonight, and now this is the first we're hearing this, and the revenues are not being distributed on the same. I understand what you have to do.
Let me back up. This is an annual process. An annual process where we go to the municipalities, get information from them every year. And again, this is in support of county services. It has nothing directly to do with the budget that you pass with your council. And we go through this year in and year out, and it's basically to say, when we have to raise property tax revenues, we want those revenues to be equally distributed across the service area, whether or not you're in a municipality or not. If you're using that service, you need to pay the same amount for it, support the same amount. So if every municipality decided to take all county services, you pay the same rate as the unincorporated area because you're getting the same services.
Getting them or using them? That goes back to my point. If we're not using them, why are we paying above fair share?
Well, then I would submit that if you think that the county service level for particular services you've picked in Middletown are inadequate, then you have a decision to make. We can drop the county service, provide it internally. That's what this is all about. So I understand too that, you know, we're trying to put this together as part of a budget, so we can't necessarily give one municipality a bunch of information at one point, another municipality information at another point. And I would also take issue with the fact that this is the first time you're hearing about that. That is incorrect. As soon as we undertook this exercise and knew that we were going to do this, we started to communicate. We've sent two letters to everybody, so we've done our best to bring everybody into the loop. And this is an issue that is important to municipalities, but at its primary level, this is an issue with county taxpayers and making sure that they're paying equitable amounts.
I'm going to go to Councilman Cordy first. I just want to make an observation for me. At the end of the day, it's about municipalities determining that they want a service that the county provides to be available to the residents in their municipality. No doubt, throughout this state, throughout each county, throughout each municipality, there are people that will never need a police officer, never need a paramedic, but in the unincorporated, they're paying to make sure that service is available if they need it. It's about choosing to have it available, whether it's used or not. Councilman Cartier and Councilman Carter.
And just I want to make clear to everybody from our brother or sister municipalities with the county government in the room, this is sort of the opening of the budget process for Newcastle County for the fiscal year budget. We don't pass a budget till the end of May. So we're beginning our deliberations this evening when we were sitting in the county exec, there'll be open meetings open for every division of government regarding its budget, and we're going to have an extensive process that we do every year. It's open to the public, and we welcome your input and your participation. And secondly, just to kind of restate what Councilman Smiley said to this gentleman's question for Middletown, the same thing, argument you're making pertains to all of unincorporated Newcastle County. So, you know, we're not here to kind of, as the CFO said, charge a user fee based on how many calls for service you receive. And I can tell you, I'm up in Brandywine 100, the other council district adjoining mine, they don't need a lot of police service. My district does. So we don't really sit down and, you know, put together rates based on how much service you're getting. We make it available to everybody. You can pick up that phone, dial 911, and get a police officer, you know, quickly. So that's the nature of property taxes and the way we fund government. What you're broaching is a whole other discussion. But I welcome your question, and I understand where you're coming from.
Councilman Carter.
Yeah, I think they captured it well. It's about providing the service, particularly in 911. And I know I met with the chief. I know there is consideration of whether you guys are going to separate off possibly, or at least he was discussing it, and we had a long discussion about, particularly in my district where I have a third of the state police, third county, a third Middletown. I'm trying to figure out how to keep everything coordinated. I will work with the mayor to try and do that. It's really important to me that we keep well coordinated down there, but we're all over the board. It's a big area. Particularly, we don't have a lot of calls for the county police. We have times when we don't have many. That backup and all that stuff is really important. I'm meeting with the state police again next week. It's a different situation south of the canal, and I have to figure out how to make them work together. So, I mean, we'll talk more about it.
One more comment.
Yeah, I just repeat your name.
Tyler Reynolds, Sound Middletown. The point was, is I guess if there was a due diligence from like a weighting factor on the other side that shows, you know, if it's solely based on assessed value, is there a weighting factor on calls for service that just, you know, that even if it's a small factor in the equation, it's something that's been looked at and evaluated, whether it's the need for small service center or office station somewhere else for whatever service.
Candidly, that doesn't come into play in the rate setting process. With respect to how we distribute services and things of that nature, I mean, that's a separate piece of this. I know that that's something that, you know, depending on the service, our folks would be willing to entertain, but you know, I can't make promises for other areas or anything like that. But this is general revenues to support general services, and you know, you can I think as Councilman Cartier said, look, you know, you pay a state income tax, do you get the same services as everyone else in the state? Maybe not. Maybe you're fortunate enough that you don't need them. So this is a way of raising general revenue, and if it's general revenue, we want to have the same tax rates for everybody.
We got a hand at the end of the table.
Yep. Question.
Identify yourself.
I'm sorry, Dave Delgrande, Newark. So the revenue allocation between local service and GOB, was that looked at or changed?
Not very much. That was, I will say that we spent a lot of time on that, both, I mean, all the way from a theoretical public finance to a cost accounting models, and basically looked at it and said, look, per the code, it says that's sort of a residual, and that's kind of how we treated it. But there are some specific items that we started thinking about. Do we have better means of allocating or apportioning them? And we thought perhaps, but I'll be perfectly candid, we ran out of runway, we ran out of time, we had to get a budget done, so we said, look, we are going to take the stuff that we feel most comfortable about, that we think has the biggest impact, and we're going to make those changes this year. The auditor and I basically said, we've got this huge cost allocation process that has dozens of steps in it, and we're going to start to go through them, and I guess it will probably take a couple of years of saying this is the next group that you know, where the cost benefit in terms of getting the changes made and fine tuning gets done. I will say that with respect to the changes that are you've seen today, I think that what we've done thus far has probably accounted for 90% of the likely changes in the local service functions, and the rest is going to be much more fine tuning. Is that fair, Bob?
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
So my thoughts are primarily real estate transfer tax, how that's allocated in debt service. Are you assigning the debt service for the function to the total cost of the function and then subtracting out any revenues to come to a rate? Are you netting out debt service against RTT? Because that will have a huge change in the GOB tax rate from the local service tax rate, depending on how you allocate that. So you could allocate more RTT to the local service functions and hike up your GOB rate across the board. Or the way it's been done in the past was allocating RTT by weight to the budget of each function.
I think that's pretty much what we did, is we looked at RTT and we looked at their relative shares and apportioned it that way. Russ can tell you maybe a little more succinctly.
Russ Morris, Office of Finance. That's exactly what we did. We allocated it by weights without any adjustments for the RTT or for the RTT debt service.
Thank you.
Yes. Pat Tone, Village of Arden Crawl. I broadly understand the exercise here. I'm trying to understand specifically in the Arden's, you see that there was a significant adjustment.
Right.
What was the...
So the Arden's are one of the few local governments that use Newcastle County police officers. And historically, Newcastle County's budget has grown faster in public safety and specifically in police service than other areas. The rates have basically had a hold harmless factor in them for years, so that as police service grew more rapidly than the rest of the budget, the Ardens were sort of frozen in time at when police was a smaller part of the budget. And when you put all of the fresh new data in and you look at it and say, gee, the police services and the part that has to be funded by the property tax is actually higher than what the prior calculations yielded, the rates have to be adjusted. And that's basically what occurred in the Ardens.
So just to be clear, the significant portion of the adjustment is attributed to those services.
Yeah, I mean, the police is the biggest piece of the local service function. It's just that the Ardens are one of, I think, maybe the only area outside of the unincorporated that maybe Bellefonte does too, but that use police service. And since it had grown at a rate faster than the rest of the budget, when we finally recalibrated everything, it came through.
So why doesn't Odessa and Townsend pay for the services?
They use state police contract.
But I thought that local service, the code said they had to have their own service and not, I mean, in years past, Odessa paid like $10,000 and never used it really, or used it for speed enforcement. So that qualifies for police services. So I just kind of equate that to the $250,000 that we give to Aetna for fire from Newark. I see that being the same thing.
What I can say is that one of the things that will be occurring in this next round will be reviewing all of the arrangements with the local governments. I think it's fair to say that a lot of those arrangements haven't been audited. Nobody's kicked the tires on them in quite a while, and going back to this chart, that has not had a comprehensive review in a long time, and that is part of the next stage of this process.
Yeah, the police one, I one that I'm dealing with a lot now, because in my district, we have separated jurisdictions intertwined because it's such a big district. But I do know, I've sat through the contract discussions with both of those towns for the state police. I think they do a wonderful job, but as the county's growing down there, I'm trying to figure out how those jurisdictions miss. I would love to see that review so that we have a better understanding.
Absolutely.
It's much easier to keep these things coordinated with our officers.
I mean, I just want to make it clear that this is, you know, this is not a one and done kind of thing, that there's a lot of work that remains to be done. And I think, again, I think we got 90% of it, of the changes that will occur, we found in this round of it, but there will be further changes in the future. Yes?
John Giles from Ellesmere. So what's the ultimate goal? This seems to me to be one where you take an approach where everybody gets on the same page, everybody pays the same amount for the same service. Now we start charging municipalities for more services. We start adding things. Here's, like, I have our sheet for our assessment. And so that, I see that going from one page, two pages, to 10 pages of services.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I'll be candid, and, you know, the state law that was kind of put all this in place is kind of long in the tooth. It was in the late 60s, I think, that it was adopted. And internally, we've said, gee, maybe we need to go back and look at that and adjust, you know, what we consider to be a local service and what we don't consider to be a local service. But, you know, the questionnaires, the things that people have been filling out, I don't know that they changed all that much over time. And I don't know that anybody's really gone in and said, look, is this town really providing that service? And audited that. So I don't see this being, you know, a way of saying, hey, we're trying to expand the county service area. I don't see that as a, it's basically, we have a process we're mandated to perform, and we want to perform it consistently. That's what this is effort is about.
So, like, Paul, how many steps are to what you're looking at right now? How many different phases before you think, and maybe it's too early to tell, before you've gotten to the part where the county's properly getting what it should. I agree with you. Somebody's putting down and providing service in or not, they'll have a ticket from them, and then we all pay the same thing. I agree.
So I would say that at this point, there are the items that Mr. Del Grande's talked about in terms of the split between the local service and the GOB. There are certain things that we just couldn't get to. Then there are other areas where we sort of put a check mark next to something and said, are we using the best data to allocate costs? And then there is simply this kind of vast unknown when you're talking about a spreadsheet of this size and the data of this amount. We need to go through it in a very systematic way and to make sure that everything is working properly. So, I mean, my guess, and this is just a guess, is that if we're diligent on this, it would probably be a couple of years before we'd be done with it. We'd get as much done as we can for the next budget, improve that, and then there would be fine-tuning after that. And actually, this should be a living process. So there would be fine tuning every year based on budgetary decisions and where the real estate market is growing and where it isn't.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Any other comments? Once? Twice? Three times?
I just one thing.
Well, you know, we got more meetings this afternoon, right?
No, just Bob Wasserbach, County Auditor, just to follow through on your question and the answer. As Dave said, it's cost accounting, and generally in cost accounting, you could have 10 different people do a cost accounting exercise, and each person comes up with a different way of doing it. I mean, the important thing is that each methodology is reasonable. I think our methodology is reasonable now, although I do think there's some refinements slash enhancements that, that can be made to the methodology.
And I'm not an auditor, but I'm going to follow up with one more point. It's important that the methodology be reasonable. It's also important that the same methodology be used for everyone.
Right. Yeah.
So, I think we all forgot that. That's a little thing the auditor holds back for job security.
I don't think you're going to find much objection to that from the municipalities, or at least from the ones that are here. But it's questions. I don't remember the first few letters. I could have gotten them and not follow up on them or anything else. I just remember this one coming. I was like, what's this about?
No, I appreciate it, and I hope I didn't seem too defensive or anything like that. But this is it's a big job. It's something that state law requires, and I will say that as soon as we were aware of it, we consulted with the auditor and the law department to make sure that we were taking every step in the right direction. I've tried to be as candid as I can to let everyone know that it's, you know, we didn't fix everything this time around, that there's more work to be done. I apologize if I sounded dismissive or anything like that, but this is really about county services and county taxpayers, but I thought it was important that you were involved, because at the end of the day, your constituents are our constituents, and we want to make sure that they're getting the right information about what's happening with respect to their overall tax bill, because they don't understand necessarily all the overlapping responsibilities and things of that nature. They just know their property tax might change. Exactly. So we want to make sure we have some information. We're working on an FAQ that we can distribute just to everyone involved. We hope to have that finalized here in the next couple of days. So that'll get distributed.
My last follow-up survey, if I may, is as you go along and you're going through this process and you start to add local service functions, will the municipalities have the same option to meet with you and discuss whether that is a legitimate local service
function? Well, the local service function, whether it's on the menu or not, so to speak, is something that council is supposed to actually approve ordinances to that effect. So to the extent that we have to go back and we say, hey, that we're in a gray area here, mm-hmm. I would imagine that we're going to be dealing very directly with local governments and with council to establish whether or not town taxpayers should be paying for the service or not.
I appreciate it. And then the council members are here. We would appreciate to stay involved like that and maybe make a case for why we might not agree.
I don't have any municipalities in my district, but I'm very comfortable given my interaction that any council member that does have municipalities within their district, as things start moving forward, legislation comes up, I'm sure they will be in touch with you, as the department here will be, and all of that legislation, as everyone's well aware, has a public vetting process through committee and then on the council floor. With that, you have information that you've been given today. There will be additional fact sheets coming out. I'm sure we'll make sure that you get all of those. And a recording of this meeting will be available through the council's website as well, which is our open meeting process. With that, I've already counted the 2.5 once. So, again, motion to adjourn.
Just basically what Mr. Cobb said is, as you mentioned, reviewing this allocation, if we could just continue to be a part as this goes, and you know, it's to make sure we're not duplicating services or no gaps.
Absolutely.
I'm at every monthly meeting. I will get it to count.
Okay. Thank you all for calling. Motion adjourned.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Feel free to take a donut and drop a quarter on your way out.
Thanks for holding the meeting. We appreciate it.
Oh, very much. Our pleasure.
Thanks for joining us.